In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with our readings.
The first reading is from chapter 7 of Revelation. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
In our gospel lesson for All Saints Day, we take a look at the Beatitudes that give us a better understanding of what the God-pleasing Christian life is like. Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This ends the reading of the Holy Gospel. You may be seated as we sing, "Come, Lord Jesus."
Thank you.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stanley Hauerwas is a well-known philosopher and a well-known theologian. And in his autobiography, he writes about a time, about something that happened in 1963. He writes, "Sometime on a Sunday evening in 1963, the world changed in Greenville, South Carolina. In defiance of the state's time-honored blue laws, the Fox Theater opened on Sunday. Seven of us, regular attenders of the Methodist Youth Fellowship at Buncombe Street Church, made a pact to enter the front door of the church, be seen, then quietly slip out the back door and join John Wayne at the Fox. On that night, Greenville served notice. Served notice that it would no longer be a prop for the church. There would be no more free passes for the church. The Fox Theater went head-to-head with the church over who would provide the worldview for the young. That night in 1963, the Fox Theater won the first opening skirmish." Stanley continues, Mr. Hauerwas, "Our parents had never worried about whether we would grow up Christian. The church was the only show in town. On Sundays, the town closed down. One couldn't even buy a gallon of gas. There was a traffic jam on Sunday morning at 9:45 when all went to their respective Sunday schools. By overlooking much that was wrong in the world, it was a racially segregated world, remember, people saw a world that looked good and right. People grew up Christian simply by being lucky enough to be born in places like Greenville, South Carolina, or Pleasant Grove, Texas." Hauerwas, this well-respected philosopher and theologian, I think he really gets it with this quote. It's not that he expounds in great details and one view or one side over the other. He just puts it out there in simplistic view for all to see. In 1963, in his hometown, a battle was waged. A battle that maybe started there for them, but truly, it was happening all over the United States around that same time. We can look out at our own world and we can ask how that battle went. Who won? Who lost? We might think that the church lost, and to be honest, in some ways it has. But even with that, in many ways, the church did not lose. Remember, the only way to look out and see this wonderful Christian world was to overlook some great and powerful sins. Sins that were happening right there at their doorstep. Hauerwas brought on the example of racism, which was, at the time, almost completely overlooked. A great evil that was simply ignored. The truth is that there never has been a world without struggle, an age without tribulation, a time without sin. As perfect as the world may have seemed in the past, it was not. We might be tempted to believe that the world is worse now than it has ever been. But the truth is that sin has always been popular. Sometimes it's been popular to hide it, and times it's been popular to flaunt it. However, with the changing of the landscape around us, it has raised some questions. Questions that apply to all of us and questions that need to be answered. And the questions have to do with identity. Now, I realize that this is a big topic nowadays, fraught with dangers all around. What do we use as our markers? What do we talk about that defines who we are? Do we talk about who we're attracted to? Does that define us? Do we talk about how we dress? Whether we dress in dresses or blue jeans, does that define us? Is that how we define ourselves? Now, don't get me wrong. We can talk about sin, what it is and what it is not. There are certainly things that are sin, those things that separate us from God. There are those things such as going against how God created us. That is to say, God created us male and female. And when we try to go against those things, we find ourselves in sin. And we don't want to overlook those things. But we must talk about the core of our problem and what it has to do with our identity. Our text in 1 John 3 truly does emphasize this point. It's amazing that we can be called children of God, for that is what we are. In our text, John wants us to know what our identity is all about. The context of these verses is also worth considering. John was writing to churches that had been mingling their identity. There were those trying to suggest that Jesus wasn't true God, yet somehow they all worshiped the same God. There were those trying to say that certain sinful practices were simply okay, and that they should be accepted by the church. In response to this, John reminds the people that they are children of God. That is their identity. That's who they are. The sinful practices of the world are not to be creeping into the church. There should be no commingling of the identities. Throughout the book, John keeps coming back to this idea that love triumphs, and so it does. But love in this case is love of God and love of one another, and not a love of sin. In fact, John says just a few verses after our passage that as Christians, as those who are children of God, we should not go on sinning. That, in fact, we should be different from the world. We should be different from the world around us because of who we are. Our identity should not be in tandem with the world, but it should be different. You see, in John's age and in ours, because there is no golden age, no golden Christian age, the world around us is simply not Christian, which means that as Christians, we should reflect Christ all the more. We should reflect that which is our identity all the more, for we are children of God. This identity is important, especially as we come today to our church, as we come today on this, the celebration of All Saints' Day, as we remember those people that have gone before us, as we remember not just who they were, but who they are, children of God. We call them saints, but not because they've done some great and wonderful thing to earn that special title, but because we recognize that they were and are children of God, that they are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, that they were made holy by the blood of the Lamb, that they were granted grace and forgiveness through their faith in Jesus Christ. We call them saints because they're now in the arms of their Savior. It can be hard. It can be hard at times to be reminded of those whom we miss. But it's nice to be reminded that they are now with Christ Jesus. It's also a good reminder to remember that who we are and why we do what we do. Yes, in a world that tries to justify sin at every time, every turn, it can be hard to separate ourselves, and there are times that we fail. But in this world, we are to always remember that we are Christians. We are clothed by Christ. We are forgiven by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that knowledge, that truth, will have an impact upon us. That knowledge will change the way we act and behave. We struggle and fall. It's true. But we also pick ourselves up. We pick ourselves up knowing that we stand forgiven before our Lord. We pick ourselves up because we know that what we are has not yet been seen, that we are children of God, a gift earned by the very sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we now confess our sins in the word of a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, Lord, because we have oftentimes failed to act like your children. We have failed in our thoughts and our words and our deeds, and we come before you this day to ask for mercy for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear us now as we confess our sins before you in a moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, let us remember those who have gone before us. Joey Baldwin, Jeanette Foster Thomas, Marla Scholl, Al Volk, Mardell Urish, Marge Frederick, Norb Schaefer, Lewis Frederick, Josephine Ripper, Virginia Urish, Dick Jones, Carl Frazier, you may be seated at this time as we continue with our gifts and our offerings. If you could find that book of friendship on the side by the aisles and sign that to get some of the people around you, it'd be great.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Through